sheriff.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I did decide to look it up. 500,000 dongs is a good night for Pop's ex.
Like most women, he's an emotional thinker.
Good God.
I mean, that's part of the problem we're having now in our society is we have a bunch of emotional thinkers that want the world to, you know, to fall in line with their emotions. It's not... look, reality doesn't give a shit about emotions.
It's my lived truth.
Fuck your lived truth.
No, it's not. It's your perspective.
Kiss my ass.
Literally, like, hey, Sarn Pop, you got to turn your bear suit. I'm like, over my dead body.
No.
Just give me a statement of charges. Yeah. You're never getting this back. Yeah. You can suck it.
I'm going to wear this with my Russian coat.
you will bury me in this. Hey! Why I got to fucking be like that, man?
Because I'm an asshole, and I learned from the best. I'm sitting across from him, and I'm pointing at you with all four fingers.
All right, first of all, the Russian jacket. Is World War II surplus.
I'll send you a picture of it, Sarge.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I got you standing wearing it with holding two giant buckets like you just collected all the chum from behind the dump dumpster at the bar and you're going to go home and make ice cream out of it.
What's up, savages? All right, we have a show for you. You're going to need to drink because we're going to be talking about a lot of Bolsheviks. I'm going to drink after this one. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me just paint the picture. We have individuals out there who want to have one world order, and this is nothing new. This has been going on for some time, and... yes, we have free elections, and there's other elections that take place around the world. And they have been hijacked. Case in point, if you think a female, non-Mexican, of a Jewish religion woman, was elected to be the president of Mexico, you're out of your goddamn mind. We're seeing a whole bunch of election craziness going on. Trump just went over to Venezuela, snatched the head dude there, and the rumor is they're leaning on him to get him to narc on the whole goddamn system. Our media has been bought. Our government, from the state all the way up to the federal government, have been bought and paid for by election laws and people donating and what have you. We just saw craziness take place in some of the European elections. We saw the same craziness that's going on in Ireland. And it's all being hid under the illusion that this is what the people want. Now, we've talked about this before, but this is such an important subject, and it is so infuriating. And once we tell you what it is, and how to spot it, you will never be able to unsee it. And we here at Redonkulous, our motto is, if it's wrong or it's ridiculous, it's Redonkulous, and we will put the crosshairs on your ass, and we will call you out. It doesn't matter if you're liberal, conservative, atheist, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, we don't fucking care. We will bust your goddamn chops, and that's exactly what we're going to be doing tonight. Bring it in, Battle Dwarf. All right.
We don't discriminate. We prefer to do things in single servings, like on an airplane. Everybody gets fucked with, even if you're not in the regiment. So here's the dealio, coolio. In case you haven't noticed, which I'm sure you have, exactly what Pop has just been talking about is going on. And it's going on here in the United States, more on a county and state level, because the United States is, well, 50 states. And it's hard to take over the whole country. It's a lot easier to take over a country like Ireland, which has been done, or Hungary, which happened a couple of nights ago. We're going to go through a lot of the metadata about how that shit happens and some of the results, what's come of that. I want to preface this by saying whenever we do these shows, this is just to inform everybody, to get the information out there, to let you do the research. That's why we provide all the links and everything, and we aren't tetchy about people rebroadcasting our videos. Okay, I'm not trying to be an expert on all of the subjects, but I know enough to be able to get the material and get it out to you so that you can look into it and share it with people who are stupid and don't know what they're talking about.
Or they're in the cult. Yeah. And they don't want to know the truth.
Or they don't want to know the truth. The thing is, the truth was known as far back as 1920 by Winston Churchill, until he ended up getting bought out by the bankers in World War II. We won't go into that right now, though. But William Churchill knew about Bolsheviks.
Drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is his speech. This is his speech from the Cannon Street Hotel on the 4th of November, 1920. Bolshevism and Imperial Sedition. Now, this is a lengthy speech. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you unless I can do it in a perfect Winston Churchill voice, which I can't.
We cannot do that.
But I will give you the highlights here. He starts with, "I am accustomed at the present time to judge world events and world tendencies from the point of view of whether they are Bolshevist or anti-Bolshevist. 1920, he saw this coming, 100 years ago. And I saw in the vote of the American nation in the presidential election a great repulsion by both great parties in the United States of the doctrine of worldwide revolution as preached and practiced by Lenin and Trotsky. 40 years later, that would all go to shit. We did an episode on that, Origins of the Deep State. Yep. Not that we've done episodes on any of this, not that this is one big fucking I told you so, but we told you so.
Well, we'll tell you that. Listen, man, we told you so. Fuck off.
So in 1920, Churchill is saying that the Bolsheviks have been trying to get into the United States, and in 1920, we rejected them. 20 years later, totally different story. Shit goes bad. Now, here's the important part of Churchill's speech. Again, this is at America's National Churchill Museum. The links will be in the Meet Gazer box. You can see all of that stuff. If you want them, ask. Happy to send them to you. It is quite true that the doctrines which have been given credit among those violent circles boldly affirm that there is no need to obtain majorities. Now, go back, listen to that real quick. Churchill knew about the Bolsheviks. You've got your academic Marxists. Uh-huh. They don't like to do any work. They just want people to give them stuff, which is all of academia today. Everything should be free. Healthcare should be free. Education should be free. They want it from other people's money. They don't have to do the work, which is pure nothing.
No, that's right. Fucking nothing.
Nothing.
And listen, this pattern has played out.
Yes.
Like, and when communism took over in Russia to start with, whole areas of that country starved to death because they took the resources, sent them somewhere else.
The first thing they did was remove the farmers from the land, send them to gulags, and then take the people from the cities and put them on the farms so that the people from the cities could have the benefit of what the farmers had been producing all of that time. The people from the cities got to the farms and didn't know how to farm because farming is hard.
Yeah, like Zimbabwe, South Africa, Rhodesia.
Which is what Zimbabwe, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. This is insane.
Yes, it is. So that's academic communism. It's when they graduate from everybody should give me free shit to the government should give me free shit. From academic Marxism, which is pure Marxism, to academic communism. And then you get the little bastards that start to go out into the street. The first generation of that is Antifa, those Mr. God Ice picked in Mexico. What if you got to squeeze a lime with that? I would have squeezed a lime after I'd like stabbed him with the ice pick. I'd like put a lime on the end of it or something.
Utopia. And Anyone who gets in the way is going to go to a camp, get hung, or what have you. Starved to death.
It goes very quickly from Bolsheviks are dangerous. The responsible leaders of trade unions have very great difficulty in standing up to these hotheads, meaning the Bolsheviks. We must make all allowance for this difficult position in which leaders of the labor movement are placed in these circumstances. But at the same time, when assertions are made which deserve to be criticized, I do not see why they should not be criticized, even if they are made by labor leaders. Mr. J.H. Thomas, a man who played a very good part on many occasions and not quite so good a part on others, but still a responsible, reputable leader of British labor, which at the time was actually of the labor forces, the factory workers, etc., at that time in 1920. It's different today. Thought it right to say when the council's actions were set up with regard them, we regard them as a definite challenge to the constitution of the country. He's speaking, of course, of the Bolsheviks. Here's the important part, and here's where we are today. And I've talked about this several times. It is quite true that the doctrines which have been given credit among those violent circles boldly affirm that there is no need to obtain the majorities. They know they don't need the majority. Revolutions are usually 3-7%. That's
correct.
They want to have the power to rule, whether they have the majority or not, whether the people wish it or not. There, now you've graduated to hardcore communism, which is Bolshevism. Violence is all over the place. As Lenin put it the other day, remember this is 1920, 15% ought to be enough to dominate Great Britain, provided they are all ardent communists. All the other 85% have got to be disenfranchised somehow or other in order that this 15% of communists may be able to confer their blessings upon mankind. And yes, it actually says that in the speech.
All right, hang on. Let's compare that to what's going on today.
Yep.
You have a whole bunch of people in the middle who are disenfranchised.
Yes.
And then you have a hardcore minority that, I mean, they burned down cities under different titles, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, what have you.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And that's
happening here in the United States right now. And we got pushed around over a book about cutting your penis off.
Yeah.
And we let ourselves get pushed around over that. I'm still mad about that. That was 2 years ago. I'm still mad.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to be mad over this shit till the day I get called home. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I love this country.
Yep.
I have gone to great lengths to protect this country. I have sacrificed untold amount of blood, sweat, and tears, and I would dare say my immortal soul. Mm-hmm. And I still serve this country now.
Same.
All right.
We don't have to be doing this. We could be just doing the saving of the lives part and ignoring all of this stuff. We don't have to be doing this. But we need it for this helps as well.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand the world you're in, it causes the depression and it causes the unaliving and it causes the poor permanent choice.
And you know what cuts through the propaganda and the cult mentality and the so-called evidence they use to support it? Mm-hmm. Truth.
Yes.
You cannot defeat the truth.
Yeah.
Period.
Now, who out there knows who Alexander Solzhenitsyn is?
I have no idea who that is, but that's I probably can't spell that word.
That's okay. He is a Russian defector who came to the United States and just started spelling it the fuck out for us.
Yep.
So this is the spelling it the fuck out portion of the show. Please give me your attention for the next 2 minutes.
A decline in courage. Maybe the most striking feature which an outside observer notices in the West in our days. The Western world has lost its civil courage.
Can you stop it real quick?
Both as a whole and separately in each country.
Decline of courage.
That's
toxic masculinity. We have people getting pushed into train tracks, people getting murdered on the street. Sexually assaulted. I'm not going to use
a woman in Atlanta was stabbed in the face 6 times, sexually assaulted, and then shot today.
Yeah, and then yesterday, you know, people get beat to death by these illegal, and nobody's doing shit about it because nobody wants to be the toxic man who says, "Fuck this, we need to do something about this. This is out of control."
Nobody wants to be first in line.
Yeah. It's got to happen. Listen, and that's why they come after guys like me, because I am all about, yes, be a man.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. You know, and I go through the steps. All of the tools, everything you need to unfuck yourself and the balloon knot that is your mind is in my videos I've made over the past 20 years. Yeah. And the power to wield those tools are in my fucking book, The Warrior's Way and the Soldier's Soul. It's on Amazon. And
I know I edited that.
Yeah, those are the tools that I'm leaving behind for everyone.
On the Warrior's Way and the Soldier's Soul?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Pop, what did you mean when you said?
Yeah. I got like two of those calls a day for like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks.
About 3 or 4? What does this mean? Yeah. Depopping a book is an experience. He's gotten much better as a writer, though. The most recent Jericho Files was actually, I only had to call him like once or twice, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's Solzhenitsyn. Keep listening to this, because this is exactly what's happening. You should be recognizing everything he says.
Each government, each political party, and of course in the United Nations. Such a decline in courage is particularly noticeable among the ruling groups and the intellectual elite, causing an impression of loss of courage by the entire society. Of course, there are many courageous individuals, but they have no determining influence on public life.
Right there. Mm-hmm. I want to stop it right there. I want to point out that I'm not calling everybody out there a coward. We know that there are people out there. If I had the opportunity to do something, I am reasonably certain that I would act in some way. Pretty sure you're the same. Like if you saw a guy jumping a female in the street,
mm-hmm.
just as an example, I'm sure there's plenty of you guys out there listening right now. Same thing. We're not talking about the individuals. We're talking about the moral courage of the culture as a whole is what he's talking about here.
I mean, you and I are doing that right now, saving all these lives.
Yes. Yep. And showing people this stuff to begin with.
Yeah.
Political and intellectual bureaucrats show depression, passivity, and perplexity in their actions and in their statements, and even more so in theoretical reflections to explain how realistic, reasonable, as well as intellectually and even morally warranted, it is to base state policies on weakness and cowardice.
Right there, stop.
Yep.
Every state in the union right now has turned self-defense or any desire to defend the state or the nation from the obvious invasion that came through our border a couple of years back, has turned it either into a crime or they shame the living shit out of you every opportunity they get. And they teach your children in school the same thing. So this is deliberate. And Solzhenitsyn is saying this in 1970. This is 50 years ago.
Yeah.
50 fucking years ago.
Yeah, and let's be honest, okay? This has probably played out over and over throughout all of human history in just various forms. Okay, like for instance, when Spain got taken over by the Moors, they were dominated for, what, two and a half centuries? And finally, the Spanish said, this is fucking crazy, and drove them the fuck out. I don't want to wait two centuries once, you know, some shit goes down. We can easily stop this right now.
Yep.
We can take back our country.
Spain just did it again.
Yeah.
Spain, there's like 40 seconds left here.
All right. Sorry, I keep
interrupting. No, that's okay. This with this show, I'm not trying to get out a ton of information here. I'm trying to get out critical points.
And decline in courage is ironically emphasized by occasional explosions of anger and inflexibility on the part of the same bureaucrats when dealing with weak governments and weak countries not supported by anyone, or with currents which cannot offer any resistance. But they get tongue-tied and paralyzed when they deal with powerful governments and threatening forces with aggressors and international terrorists.
There you go.
Should one point out
that from ancient times, declining courage has been considered the beginning of the end.
Roman Empire, anyone, baby.
Boom.
I will stop it right there.
Like I said, this has played out multiple times throughout all of history.
Declining courage.
Mm-hmm. And listen, like, if you're a man, you know, when you're a boy, right, and you don't, like, go along with the female agenda, they put you on pills because you're ADHD or whatever the fuck label they use at the particular time.
Oh, that was deliberate. I got a whole show that I'm working on for that, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm noticing these patterns, okay? Listen, I'm not an idiot. I mean, granted, I have brain damage from getting blown up.
We're trained to see patterns, though. That's literally the core of our... You do patterns and pointy things and shooty things, and I did patterns and lots
of reports. Like, if you're going to hunt human beings, you need to know human nature, and you need to know the patterns that they're using. And I was an expert at that. So, yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
Oof. So, where are we right now? We are 20 minutes into the show. I am going to bring up the fact that somebody known as Pop Terrence One Each managed to make it onto our local news on Monday morning, yesterday, the 13th day of April, 2026, year of our Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm gonna give you the backstory, okay? I knew about this interview for about two and a half weeks. And I was fully expecting to get the call at the last minute. No, we're not doing it. All right. So I woke up yesterday, raging fucking migraine. And, you know, I'm literally laying in bed like, I can't go. I can't do this. And I heard Evil Pop from the box in the back of my mind. It's like, get up, Ranger.
You'll be fine.
No, he's like, this is the fight. This is the first round. You need to show up. So I put the eye patch on. Because the studio was really bright. I already had a migraine headache, and I didn't want to, you know, implode on fucking stage. But I'm going to play it to you. Now, for all of you guys who've donated money throughout the years, this is basically, it's not in vain, and it hasn't gone to waste, because this is actually a good one here. Now, hopefully... the sound hasn't been deactivated on this. Let's see. Share screen.
It's okay. I have backup if you fuck up.
Okay. Share. And let's see if it plays. All right.
Department of Veterans Affairs. Michigan alone reported 180 deaths by suicide among military veterans across all age groups. And
what'd you say?
Make it big. Lower right-hand corner.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Boom.
Press play.
Play now.
Both genders. Our brave men and women are facing a crisis and need all the support that they can get. One veteran, you see him right here, he is using the gift of laughter to save lives and raise awareness. We have retired First Sergeant Terrence Pop joining us on the couch to tell us a little bit more about his mission on fighting suicide with comedy. Thank you so much for coming in today, and I got to thank you again so much for your service. You have been through so much, and now your mission is helping others. Tell our viewers all about it.
Well, I run secondclasscitizen.org. It's a nonprofit, 501c3. And I started doing the spoken word comedy videos at the end of 2008. Mm-hmm. The first one was Purple Heart's Final Beat. And I must have hit a nerve, because, you know, that one, we got awards for that one. And before I knew it, I was getting 1 to 5 calls a week from guys in the service who were just getting hammered in divorce courts, or were going through some life, you know, craziness. And I mean, that's not even my job. I'm a grunt. I was the most expendable of the expendable. And it just snowballed from there. And I got up to roughly 225 lives saved in 2013. And I was at a party for a friend of mine, and they had a Catholic deacon there who was also a counselor. And he was saying, yeah, 8 years he was doing it, like 20 people saved from suicide. And I said, well, I'm up to 225. And it was at that moment I realized that I was no longer dealing with the average. I was basically graduated up to spiritual warfare. And this is the ultimate game of death. I mean, when you're trying to talk people back from the edge, it's exceedingly difficult. And I mean, in 33 years in the Army, I watched the United States government burn through billions of dollars trying to stop this. They hired an army of shrinks, and to no effect. And I'm just one guy with three volunteers operating on less than a shoestring budget, and I'm outperforming pound for pound any organization or billion-dollar organization that the U.S. government has at this time.
And it's all through comedy. And Terrence, in my lap here are just hundreds of emails that you printed out, and the lines that say, "You saved my life." And I've been reading through some of these, and it's truly incredible. These people are going through such a rough time, and through your help and through laughter, you saved them. How does that make you feel?
It makes me want to save the next one.
Yeah.
And there's 592 lives saved since the end of 2008.
Wow.
We're reading in our next one this Thursday, and that'll put us at 593. That's six short of 600, which is a reinforced battalion of men.
Where can people find your videos?
Redonkulous.com. I'm on YouTube, Rumble. I'm on virtually every video platform out there. And it's one thing for me to tell you the number.
Yeah.
Because every time I save somebody, I put a dog tag in the bag. Now, typically, dog tags represent death.
Mm-hmm.
You're given two when you come in, one on the long chain, one on the short chain. When you get whacked, the one on the short chain goes through the process for graves, registration, and mortuary affairs. But I flipped the script because when you hear the number 590, that's just a portion of them right there. I could dump the whole thing out, but it would cause pandemonium.
It's beautiful work that you were doing, and please keep it up. And everybody that's watching, if you need help, of course, the help is always available for you, and your life certainly matters. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for your service. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. We'd love to have you back at any time. Remember, you can call 988. That is the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. We will be right back, everybody.
All right.
The guys in the comments.
What?
The guys in the she wanted to fuck Pop right then and there. You could see her ovaries shaking on camera.
No, man. It was nothing like that. Come on.
Yeah. Actually, there were quite a few little telltale signs there. She was getting bothered. It's probably been a long time since she's been around an actual man.
So. Well, here's the thing, though. It's like I literally gave her all of the emails, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, "What's this?" I go, "These are the receipts. And you can keep them and read them at your leisure because I'm not bullshitting you." And then she starts going through them and I can hear like, "Oh my God, holy fuck."
Yeah.
Because I underlined like all of the life saved and then, the critical parts in the email where they actually said, "Hey, you did this, you did that. I'm still alive because you stuff like that."
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. Somebody dubbed you Captain Pop Sparrow.
Whatever. That's fine.
That's fine.
Listen, I don't care. But like I'm saying, this like we.
It was awesome. Literally... It was a great interview. It was perfectly timed. I'm going to point out a theatrical portion there. You were so much physically larger than her that you filled the space, and it really added to the whole presence of the thing. It added to the weight of what you were talking about.
Well, here's another thing.
Perfectly so.
Obviously, there are forces at work here that are beyond our understanding. I mean, I'm one fucking dude.
Yeah.
I can't even get out of the box I'm in on YouTube. I mean, I'm shadow banned. I've been, banned from doing business from PayPal, debanked. I've had two or three Facebook pages collapsed, banned off Gab, kicked off, Twitter like twice.
It's hard to get kicked off of Gab.
Yeah, they kicked me out. Fuck those guys. Fuck, dude, this is serious business.
Yeah.
And, I'm in the game for all of the fucking marbles. So when I say yes, every little bit you send in goes a long way. I am not fucking around, bro.
For record, and I've been around Pop the whole time this has been going on. I've been in and out of participating in it, but more so in the last couple of years. This is the first time a mainstream media outlet has allowed him to come on the air and actually talk.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time this has happened. So it's kind of a big deal. But yeah, this is the result of all of the work that we've been doing. And when you guys kick in, it allows us to do stuff like this because we can schedule time and make these things happen. So it's a huge deal. And thank you to every swinging dick out there who pitches in.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And again, every little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see the results. And listen, if I could just get lit off the chain, I could 100x these fucking numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah, absolutely.
The forces of darkness. If I can get off the fucking chain, they are fucked. They truly are.
Yep.
Because listen, you know, that little whisper in the middle of the night that shows up from, you know, like, hey, there's no hope. Why keep going? This is pointless. And yada yada yada. And people listen to that shit, and at some point they make the decision, I'm done. And once a man makes that decision, it's really hard to turn him back. Mm-hmm. All right, I am trying to be the voice in the other ear that points at him and goes, fuck that guy, live on, stand the fight, live out of motherfucking spite.
Somebody brought up a good point in the chat. Is there an email that they can toss a thank you to that group / studio / producer / female that was there on stage with you? What do you call her?
Yeah, I could.
Not a reporter, morning show host.
Yeah, hang on. I have it. I put it in the.
Yeah, some of the guys said they actually would like to send her an email or send that group an email and
I'll get it to you right now. I'll put it in the chat.
Put it in all the chats.
Stand by. Oh, God.
You'll be fine.
I'm on a Mac, so you have to do certain things.
Yeah.
Command C. Okay, let's go over and get in the chat. But yeah, let us know in the comments if you actually liked that interview. Hang on. Let me Command V. Her name is Brianne Harris is her name, and I'm putting it in the stuff right now. Boom. So it's on Rumble and YouTube, and I'll put it on.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, there it is. Yep.
So yeah. Send her an email and let her know, hey man, I just saw the interview and everything he says is 100% true. He's not bullshitting you. You know, so
cool.
There you go. Make it happen.
Excellent. Good deal. Let's carry on with the night's festivities now that we've got through that. Captain Pop Sparrow.
Hey, look, man. It is what it is.
It is what it is. So, once again, Origins of the Deep State, one of our episodes, we identified the bureaucracy that actually runs this country. Now, everybody calls them the deep state. Well, these assholes have actually formed what they call the steady state. And when I came at them on Twitter, they actually responded to me and said, oh, no, we're not that at all. We're just here to help. We're just here to help. But then you go to their shit. They're literally called the steady state, and their motto is hold fast. Patriotism, not partisanship. Okay? They've got a website, and you could go to it and... It is all of these FBI, former chief of staff, defense intelligence agency, former national security, former U.S. ambassador, former U.S. ambassador, former senior foreign service. It's all State Department guys.
Yeah, fuck
former
them.
U.S. ambassador, former service foreign service officer, one after another, former central intelligence chief of station, independent transportation security consultant, former U.S. intelligence community. It's one after another, and it's so painfully obvious because they're all State Department or three-letter intelligence apparatus chicks.
Yep.
And it is lock, stock, and barrel everything we talked about in the Origins of the Deep State episode. One after another. And this is actually a video scrolling through their shit. I'm not going to exhaust you by...
Yeah,
making you watch the whole thing, but their whole roll call is right there. It's all right there.
Wow.
Matt Younts, I know that guy, former senior geospatial analyst from NGIA. I actually know him.
Oh, wow.
We did shoot with NGIA all the time, but when we did our when we would do our work with signals intelligence and all that, one of the things that I would always do is go down the hall to the NEMA guys, the map guys, and go in there and say, "Hey, I need these sheets. I need these map sheets, and give me any recent imagery you have down to X resolution for this list of locations here." And that's how we put our briefings together. And you've probably seen the briefings. It consists of a map sheet and a little legend in the lower right-hand corner. And on the side, it's got a whole list of freaking targets or
targets, bullet points, TTPs, yeah. What to look out for. Yeah, I've seen it all.
Yeah, we built that. Yeah. I used to do that all the time. But
I've sat in so many op orders that I'm like, yeah, okay, here we go.
Yeah,
I know. This is a spook mission, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a spook mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even more fun to build those, let me tell you.
But yeah, I mean, there's been a couple times where, you know, some missions come down the pipe, and I'm like, okay, well, let me see what's going on. Ah, yeah, okay, this is a spook mission.
Yeah, here come the maps. Oh, look, satellite close-ups. Okay, they're serious.
Yeah, it's going down.
Okay. So this next one is a woman speaking, and she's going to talk about the deliberate deindustrialization. Those of you who are over the age of 45 will know immediately what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, when Pop and I were kids, Detroit was still the automotive capital of the world.
The Rust Belt.
We had steel mills in Milwaukee, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and a couple of other places. We made all of our own steel. We made everything. Pennsylvania was the textile capital of the civilized world.
Yep.
The cotton was still coming out of the fields in the South. That was really a thing. And then all of a sudden, right around 1978 to 1980,
Jimmy Carter.
Yep. All of a sudden, they started taking all of our industry away. And this is how you take a nation apart.
On Saturday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio blew the lid off of a 50-year-old conspiracy. He said that the destruction of the American economy was deliberate.
Deindustrialization was not inevitable. It was a conscious policy choice, a decades-long economic undertaking that stripped our nations of their wealth, of their productive capacity, and of their independence.
He's right. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't market forces. It was a plan written down 50 years ago, and today we're going to give you the receipts. Now, you've seen the reports about the U.S.-European face-off at Munich, how the globalists marched a lineup of failing European leaders and American has-beens and wannabes onto the stage to challenge President Trump. But even the pro-MAGA coverage of Marco Rubio's powerful speech missed the bombshell that the deindustrialization was deliberate.
Okay, I'm only going to go about a minute and a half into this. There's 15 minutes here. But it's important that you hear the beginning of this, and then afterward, if you want the link, you know how it works.
All right. Again, this was a conspiracy theory for decades, but it's absolutely fucking true.
It's obvious that it was done to us.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we couldn't make anything anymore.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
I've talked about this before too. Our power grid. Not a single key major component of our power grid is manufactured in the United States. They're all made in India and China.
And what about our drugs? That's all made in India, China.
Israel, and China.
Yeah, and we just had some stuff. The media really didn't cover it in depth, but a lot of the electronics we get from China has got built-in spy shit in it.
Yes,
that's correct. They're not allowing routers to be sold in the United States or made overseas now
Yeah, let's let her set the stage, and then we will move along.
Move along.
So much to get through. But
now, we didn't miss it, because we were there in 1977 when the Council on Foreign Relations announced their plan to do it, when they called for, quote, the controlled disintegration of the world economy, unquote. I'm Susan Kokinda, and I was part of the team that exposed that report 50 years ago. So when I heard these words come out of Marco Rubio's mouth, I knew that what we were seeing is the most significant challenge to British imperial policy in modern American history. Now, if this is a fight you want to follow, please hit those like, share, and subscribe buttons. so we can stay in touch.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can expand our reach.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what I'm going to cover today. First, what Rubio actually said and the panicked reaction from the Europeans who were at the same conference. Mm-hmm. Second, the 1977 CFR report that laid out the deliberate destruction of sovereign economies, mm-hmm. precisely the destruction that Marco Rubio talked about. And third, how Trumponomics is reviving real economic sovereignty. So yeah. Let's start with what Secretary of State Rubio laid out at Munich.
In this delusion, we'll we embrace a this. Dogmatic vision of free and unfettered trade, even as some nations protected their economies and subsidized their companies to systematically undercut ours, shuttering our plants, resulting in large parts of our societies being deindustrialized, shipping millions of working and middle-class jobs overseas, and handing control of our critical supply chains to both adversaries and rivals.
Right there.
Yep.
High treason on the part of the individuals who did that, because you deliberately sabotaged a nation to the point where it couldn't effectively defend itself without foreign supply chains.
Well, let's just be honest here, okay? Before all of the, you know, the bullshit took place,
yeah.
All right, there was no fucking way any country would be able to defeat the United States without a nuclear warhead.
Nope.
No fucking way.
No.
Now, in 20 years from now, if we don't unfuck this, we're going to be winding up, we're going to be just like England and France. A neutered has-been that, you know, will never be again because they've been weakened to the point of... Mm-hmm. They're turned into fucking eunuchs. England used to have the best fleet on the high seas for centuries. And they can barely... They can't even really build any ships.
I saw an article on this. No, all the shipbuilding has gone to India, China, and Korea.
Yeah, that's fucking stupid. Even like, what the fuck is wrong with us?
Norway used to build the best ships in the world, by the way.
Norway. Really? I didn't know that.
They're Vikings. They make ships. But no, really, they had the best shipbuilding capabilities. At any rate, I saw an article on the English Navy after World War II. They lost 67% of their fleet, but saw a 78% increase in staff officers who were running the Navy.
Ah.
And that right there tells you everything you need to know. That's stock communism right there. Everybody needs to be promoted. Everybody's got this ridiculous chests full of medals. And
I mean, yeah. Listen, don't get me started on officers and their worthless horseshit dick sucking contests they have.
We did a brief mention of the number of generals in the U.S. Army. We did a military episode. I can't remember what the name of it was, but we mentioned that there's like 17 officers for every, or 17 generals for every corps.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And so don't even get started on this because I'll just go down the rabbit hole and we'll have to use.
We got rabbit holes all over the place.
Listen, anyone's been watching this show knows exactly how I feel about officers.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they are worthless pieces of shit.
Yeah.
I've literally worked with thousands of them over a 33-year period, and I can name maybe 30 that were good and maybe 10 that were excellent. See, all the rest were mediocre or incompetent at best.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You were in three times as long as I was. I was in for 11, you were in for 33. I know three officers that I respect enough that I would work for again. I know exactly three officers that if they called me up today, I would say, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah, and the generals you see on the news and talking their shit because they're generals. Okay, they're really good at stabbing people in the back and cutting throats and doing all the politics, but they are not good leaders, and they are not good human beings, and they can fuck off.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay, that's nice. Very quickly, Tommy Franks was 2nd Infantry Commander when I was there. I met him a couple of times for various bullshit. At that time, as a one-star, he was a pretty good dude. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving along. Let's go to the art of institutional capture. Now we are talking about the European Union. We are talking about the events in Hungary over the last couple of days. But this lays out how they do their institutional capture routine. strategic alignment between European Union establishment, which is the Bolshevik Party of Russia, and the Tsar liability to re-strengthen the Tsar Party. That looks like a mangled word there. Anyway, that's their big political party in Hungary, effectively bypassing the resistance of the Orban administration. The Brussels establishment does strategic funding control, political and media endorsement. They use tons of fucking NGOs inside the country. Now, in 2022, which was just a couple of years ago in perspective, Biden really, really ramped up aid through USAID to Hungary's NGOs for these programs. So our State Department, our deep state, our steady state, is partially responsible for this activity. Okay, they've got all kinds of anti-Orban optics, regime change, anti-corruption, rule of law reform, systemic continuity, policy alignment, Eurozone adoption, institutional integration. This is all to get LGBT blah, 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 blah rights.
Loose, gay, butt twerking, queer community.
Thank you.
It's all their own words. They can get mad at me. I don't care. I'm just sick of the bullshit.
Mass immigration. Mm-hmm. The destruction of Hungarian culture. And the...
You got to put the vax in there, too.
Are they? Yeah.
I mean, that destroyed morale.
I'm sure that'll be next. And the muttization of European culture. And what I mean by the muttization is the breeding out of whites, period. They make no bones about it. They talk about it. It'd be like, oh, that you're a racist. Fuck you. They talk about it. They talk about wanting to breed whites out of existence all the time.
Correct. Yep. You're not wrong.
So the Hungarian resistance under Orban, the guy who was just removed from office, he was confrontational and remained a sovereign stance in Hungary. But this new guy, Magyar, wants integrationalism and compliance, funding status. Hungary was blocking the EU from a whole bunch of funding for a whole bunch of bullshit programs. The kind of stuff that we were just talking about.
Yes.
But now that Magyar is in, the first condition was that he let all of that stuff go through. Monetary policy, he wanted sovereignty over his money. Imagine a country wanting sovereignty over its money. What a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Okay, and Magyar, of course, is going to adopt the euro with a target of 2030. And Orban's institutional goal is national autonomy, and Magyar's is centralized harmonization.
Great.
And this is all done through the European Union's Bolshevik mechanism with its host of NGOs and the United States. The United States isn't using USAID anymore at this point in time, but there are dozens of private organizations. Victoria Nuland, who was like the gadfly of the United States, responsible for the toppling of Ukraine and Zelensky being installed and a whole bunch of other horrible acts. She should be hanged for a war criminal, has since retired and moved into private organizations.
Yeah, listen. Okay. All right. Hang on. All right.
Yeah.
This globalist bullshit is not going to work out. Look at Ireland. Mm-hmm. They're fucking pissed because of all the bullshit that's going on with immigrants. Same thing in England.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All you really got to do, right? And I know this is really a stretch. Mm-hmm. If we could get back the media and actually have them tell the truth and enrage the people with the truth, because that's what would happen. This problem would solve itself. Now, would it be bloody? Probably. Because Ireland's on the verge of a civil war.
Yes, they are.
And here in America, we're getting close to that as well. The two-way rifle range, you know, it's going to kick off. And the only thing that will protect these people when that happens is AI and their ability to, you know, basically weaponize robots against us to try to put us back in our place. That's why I'm against that as well, because I know Skynet is on its way.
Oakland County has already adopted Skynet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's aggravating.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm glad I'm on the way out, man. I mean, I'm on the 65 and out plan. I got like 7 years and some change. So.
Yeah. this, the Hungarian elections, this is a critical element because it's the last European country to fall. Mm-hmm. The Bolsheviks now basically run Europe.
Poland.
I told you, Poland fell a couple of years back.
Yeah, yeah.
The people are still solid, but their government is trying to drag them into the Bolshevik hell of, I told you this is going to be, don't drink whiskey tonight. This will not end well for you.
Oh, yeah, I can't. I can't drink hard shit for a while anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, the next one up I've got here is a female journalist named Taylor Hudak, who lives in Budapest. Now, she's an extensively in-depth reporter who's been in that realm, and she is Hungarian herself. She did an analysis of this Magyar fellow. She says the Hungarians supposedly voted for Peter Magyar. This is a completely immoral, demoralized individual who has literally achieved nothing in his life. Gosh, this doesn't sound like any American politicians we know of at all.
A majority of the American politicians we have done fuck all except graduate.
This is the standard Bolshevik playbook today. They install these compromised people. Mm-hmm. They install these compromised people to train wreck the country and demoralize the citizens. Okay, he stands for nothing. He has no backbone, and the only thing he is truly known for is that he's the ex-husband of the former Minister of Justice in the Fidesz government. This is who Peter Magyar really is. He's nobody, and yet he's been elected Prime Minister of Hungary. This is honestly unbelievable. Why was he elected, and why the EU supports him, and probably the United States as well? Because he is easy to corrupt. He has many flaws. He has achieved nothing. He stands for nothing. In his campaign, he based himself on the fact that he would collaborate with the EU, and that means open borders, and that means supporting and continuing the war in Ukraine.
If you stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
Yes. And right there, that's it. That's the nation of Hungary gone down the shitter, unless the people do something about it. Now, this goes to the Color Revolution episode we did. And all of the stuff that goes behind that and Gene Sharp's works. If you haven't watched that, I recommend you watch that or at least watch Gene Sharp's movie about color revolutions. It's on YouTube. It's like an hour and 20 minutes long or something like that, but it's well worth your while because that's what's happening. And it's happening here in the United States, but it's happening at a county and state level. Oregon's trying to pass laws right now that you can't hunt, you can't fish. You can't grow livestock on your own property. You can't slaughter livestock on your own property. And you can't grow food on your property unless you are a properly licensed farm with big ag, blah, blah, blah. That right there is exactly 1917 Trotskyite
bullshit. Again. Like they're literally doing it again. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That's happening in Oregon today. Feel free to look that one up. Good times. So then this guy helpfully gives us a list of how to overthrow a government in the European Union, withhold EU funds from it to block your economic growth, fine it 200 million euros and 1 million euros per day for a border that can also be found in Finland or the Baltic countries, ban students from the Erasmus program for something that also exists in Estonia and Australia. If charges are brought against the opposition candidate for any reason, vote in the European Parliament to maintain his immunity so he cannot be held accountable. Blockading criminals, big thing. Create an oil blockade during an election period to cause economic difficulties. Provide IT service assistance from abroad to the opposition party, which is the United States specialty. With three European intelligence services leak years-old phone conversations before the elections when there's actually nothing new in content but good for spreading sensation. Boost the opposition candidate's reach on Facebook with Meta so that he has many impressions as Donald Trump on his own Facebook page, even though nobody knows who that guy was, Magyar. Spread the false narrative with an internal, intentionally coordinated network that Russian agents are present in stealing the election. Repeat the last step for weeks during the election. And that's how they got Magyar elected in Hungary. They've got a playbook.
Yep.
They have a playbook that works, and it has toppled government after government after government. Gaddafi was toppled. We toppled Saddam Hussein. I'm tempted to go back and look at his policies. Yes, the guy was a bastard. Udayan Kusay did a horrible
shit. Oh, my God. And listen, Hussein.
We don't even want to get into that.
His father and the two sons were just fucking demons incarnate. The shit that I've heard, the videos I saw, the evidence, it is fucking atrocious. Fuck those guys. There isn't a penis big enough in hell to fuck those guys.
While I understand that, we must ask the question, was that really our business?
Oh, well, yeah, you're right. I mean,
to topple that regime. They had it coming. They should have been killed, but their own people should have killed them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I'm not taking anything away from the American service.
Well, let's just be honest. The American government has toppled so many governments at this point, since the end of World War II. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. This is another report on Hungary. I'll try to blow through these things here as quickly as possible because we do have a lot to cover, but it's worth the trouble. So for Brussels, it was like shooting fish in a barrel, and very soon the bullets will be real. Hungary, you just sold your soul and your country to the devils in Brussels. Hungary not only fucked themselves, but also fucked all of the West. The emergence of Peter Magyar and the Cisza Party is a textbook case of systematic political realignment, Bolshevism, orchestrated to dismantle entrenched national sovereignty in favor of broader centralized European Union integration, global Bolshevism. While mainstream narratives frame Magyar as grassroots disruptor, the reality is he serves the preferred instrument of the European People's Party, or EPP. European People's Party. Gosh, the People's Party. Gosh, that sounds an awful lot like the Bolsheviks. I told you it's going to be a bad night. I told you it's going to be a rough fucking night.
I can only drink one beer, so let's ration it.
The broader Brussels establishment to neutralize Viktor Orban's defiant stance. The EPP, led by figures like Manfred Weber, had long sought a compliant partner in Budapest to resolve the Hungarian problem. The persistent refusal of the Fidesz government to submit to EU mandates regarding migration, energy, and judicial oversight. In other words, they want the European Union to have judicial oversight over Hungary. Magyar provides the perfect vehicle for this transition because he originates from within the system. Big shock. Look at all the young global leaders in our own government.
Hang on a minute.
It's like Dan Crenshaw. What do you got?
I think we got bounced off YouTube.
Why would we get bounced off YouTube? Yeah.
I'm just getting some emails. I'm checking to see if we're bounced off YouTube. Hang on. Oh, no, we're on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Disregard. All right. Keep going.
Nope. Yeah, I've got the YouTube transition. It's still going. You're here. Central Time still live. Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Sorry.
By the way, YouTube is putting. Yeah.
What?
YouTube is putting.
What are they doing?
Stop your feed.
I did. Are you hearing something?
Hang on. I know where it is. I found it.
All right. Sorry, man. But it wouldn't be the first time we're talking about sensitive subjects. We get bounced off YouTube. Okay. What are you going to do?
Wait.
Yeah. What?
We have a glitch. One of us has a YouTube tab open.
I do have YouTube open, but it's not playing.
I have no YouTube tab open, and I am hearing your feed.
Huh. Okay. That's weird.
Yeah.
All right. I'll close the YouTube feed on my side then.
Okay.
All right. Are you getting like an echo or something?
I am. I'm getting a broadcast, and I'm not sure where it's coming from. It's causing me apoplexy.
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you, man. What are you going to do?
I am still getting the fucking broadcast. It's driving me batshit.
Sorry, man. It's not on my end.
I'm going to close all of those tabs there. That seems to resolve the issue.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about shoestring budget.
Problems. We don't have an actual producer in the studio that we don't have. So,
well, I mean, I got a studio here in the lair, but I don't have anybody like listening, like unfucking stuff without, you know, in the background. Right.
Exactly. There we go. Financial leverage. The EU withholding billions in structural funds has been the primary political bludgeon used to pressure the Hungarian electorate. Magyar has tactically shifted his stance from condemning these freezes as unfair to framing them as the fault of Orban's government, effectively positioning himself as the only key to unlocking these resources. This is the standard regime change song and dance. This is how they do it all over the place. And we saw exactly this kind of thing over here in Mexico, because let's face it, a Catholic country with an extremely macho culture, including bullfighting and cartel special forces units, probably isn't going to organically elect a Jewish woman.
Yeah, you're right. A Caucasian Jewish woman.
Yeah. You're anti-Semitic. No, I'm not. It's a reality. A masculine Catholic culture is not going to organically elect a Jewish woman as their president. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that's another thing they've used to try to silence everyone. The minute you say something like, "Oh, you're a white supremacist," or "You're anti-Semitic," or "You're an istophobe bigotist," like, right. Go fuck yourself. This is so blatantly fucking obvious.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
And the thing is, they do it so much, and they've beaten that drum so hard that what they're doing is setting the stage for another Austrian painter.
Yeah.
This is, you want Adolf, because this is how you get Adolf.
That's absolutely correct.
I say it all the time.
Yeah,
this is exactly how you get that kind of a leader.
Because everything goes, everything swings like a pendulum. Right now, they're pushing for the globalism. They're doing all this fucked up shit. At some point, people are going to be like, no, this is enough. Then it's going to go the other way, and you're going to get fucking Adolf and all kinds of crazy fucking shit.
Correct.
I just want to stay in the middle. I don't want to go left or right because I know what's going to happen. Yeah. Two-way rifle range, it'll be bad. And men like me, you know, we can't.
I don't want any part of that.
Well, one, you know, a guy like me, I can't say, oh, no, I'm not involved. I'll either get whacked or I'll be disappeared. So I'll have to pick a side, and I don't want to.
There is, that's not an A or B choice. That is an A dot one. It's an A dot one or B choice. A dot one is you get whacked, yes, but you stack a whole bunch of bodies in the process.
Or I run. I could probably be pretty good at that. Uh-uh. I mean, E&E was one of my specialties. Yeah. Good luck. Once I hit the wood line, fuck all, I am gone.
Lurse.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's another.
We did that with Lurs.
Rule number one of small unit tactics.
Don't be there.
Don't follow the airborne ranger into the fucking woods. Just don't do that. It's not going to work out. All right, keep going.
Oh, you mean as the bad guy, don't follow the airborne ranger into the woods.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No, yeah, I can attest to that. I do not have that particular skill set. But I have watched it up close as we did our little E&E dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will circle back, and you will walk right into an ambush that you thought you were ambushing them with.
It's called the J-hook, yeah. It's one of our specialties. Mm-hmm. All right, keep going.
They will do you right in the butt segs.
Yeah, you're done.
No drink. Yep. No dinner, nothing. They just do you right in the butt.
You're done.
So the way you know that Hungary was a takedown. The victory of the opposition in Hungary yesterday, like the Polish election in 2023, is a victory for democracy, not just in Europe, but around the world. Most of all, it's a testament to the resilience and determination of the Hungarian people and a reminder to us all to keep striving for fairness, equality, and the rule of law. B. Hussein Obama.
Yeah, fuck that. Okay.
This is how you know Hungary was taken, not elected.
Yes. Yeah. This is getting stupid.
Yeah. That's how you know. And in case that wasn't enough, the end of Viktor Orban's autocratic regime is a victory not just for Hungary, but for people who value democracy around the world. Congratulations to CISA, to incoming leader Peter Magyar, and to Hungarians everywhere. H. Rodham Killery Clinton.
Uh-huh.
Same message, too. Victory for democracy.
Uh-huh. That's another thing. They're hiding the takeover behind that word. Mm-hmm. And listen, when you're pulling the strings behind the elections, you can say this kind of shit.
Death to democracy. I'm just going to straight out say it. Death to democracy. Long live the republic. Constitutional republic is the way to go. Democracy is four wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. Socrates made a really good point about democracy. When everybody is allowed to vote, what's the problem? Everybody is allowed to vote.
Yeah.
If you go to the doctor and you got 10 guys in the room, one of them is an actual doctor and the other nine are village idiots, who do you want doing the doctoring part?
The actual doctor.
Okay, so why are you going to allow the village idiots to vote? That's democracy. That's democracy. That's why I harp on these old books. This has all been written down before. It was written down 2,400 years ago.
These mistakes have already been done. Listen, we are human beings. We're evil, hairless monkeys, and we go in fucking circles because we never fucking learn the lessons. And when we do learn the lesson, we just go enough time and enough people forget it, and boom, we do the same fucking thing again.
But the reason those books were taken out of our schools, I read them in high school up until sophomore year. Mm-hmm. We had to read portions of these books, but then they were all removed all of a sudden. Why? Because the lessons are in those books about people like Hillary Clinton and Obama.
Well, you want to get rid of bravery.
Yes.
You can't have young people having, you know, examples of real fucking sacrifice and bravery.
Do not have them reading the myths of Thor or Hercules.
Yeah.
Or the exploits of Leonidas at the hot gates. You can't have them reading shit like that.
Nope.
Mm-mm. And people watch the movie The 300, which is a fun movie to watch. I love to have somebody read me a comic book. That's what The 300 is. But the actual story, go read the actual story of what happened at the hot gates.
It's a brutal beatdown.
Dude, holy crap. But they, man, did they show their, you know, did they stand their ground?
Yeah. All right. This is not a history lesson. Next one.
Yes, it is kind of, though.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
This witch, this hag, this sorceress, this whatever you want to call her.
Hillary Cunton?
No. Ursula von der Leyen. She is the president of the European Union and yet another reason that certain genders should not get the vote.
Yep.
Today, Europe is Hungarian. The people of Hungary have spoken. It is a victory for fundamental freedoms. I really want to say to the Hungarian people, you've done it again, like you did in 1956, when you courageously stood up, like you did it in 1989, when you were the first to cut the barbed wire. So with this...
Does anybody know what she's talking about there? In 1989, Hungary broke free from communism, and now they're back.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's just be honest. Communism collapsed.
No, it didn't. It just moved.
Well, all right, let's just be honest here.
Okay.
It just got to the point in Russia, the USSR, it could no longer sustain itself from within because of all of the corruption, all of the bullshit. It just...
All the Bolsheviks? What?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Just,
mm-hmm. So I'm going to add to that and tell you what I've told you before when the Berlin Wall came down. The communists did not take their toys and go home and sulk. They moved into Western Europe, and now here we are in the European Union. It's the same motherfuckers with the same doctrine, same attitudes. It's just the next generation of them. It's the same ones, man. They just moved addresses. They moved from Moscow to Brussels.
Yeah.
It's all the exact same patterns. They've just figured out how to talk nicer and wear better suits and eat Belgian chocolate, which is good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I can't eat that anymore. I will get fat.
Yeah. You will. You get the diabetes.
Yeah. I will turn into a walking bowling pin.
You just saw Ursula, the queen of the EU, the president of the EU, whatever you want to call her. But now Australia has gone full retard as well. And their new commander of the armed forces is this woman here who has never done anything but drive a desk.
Uh-huh.
And she is now running the Australian Armed Forces, which were respectable. They were good.
Fuck yeah, they were.
They were good. I trained alongside of some of them here and there.
No, I worked with some, there were some Aussies in Iraq when I was there, and there were some Brits there as well. So
now everybody knows the British SAS. Well, there's 22 SAS, which is the British. Then there's 23, which is Australia, and I think 25 is New Zealand. 24 or 25 is New Zealand. Rhodesia also used to have an SAS unit. But Australia has now gone down the shitter, and one of their SAS guys, as a matter of fact, is now standing trial for murder crimes that happened in Afghanistan, but they cannot name the individuals who were murdered. They have no proof at all of the murders, but he is standing trial for these murders of people that they are unable to name.
That's awesome.
And it is because of behavior like this. And there goes your heroes. That goes to what we talked about at the beginning with Solzhenitsyn and the courage leaving the country.
Yeah.
You hand it over to matrons like this who should be freaking well into their fourth box of wine and cat number seven.
Yeah.
But no, she's commanding the armed forces of one of the once respectable nations of the Western world.
Yeah. Australia was disarmed. And they're trying to do that in America too.
Yes, they are.
They want to take away our guns. They're having a real hard time because it's built into our fucking constitution.
That is correct. One of the other things they're having a hard time with there is our decentralization. Mm-hmm. Whitmer is currently trying to take magazines away from us.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And a bunch of other stuff before she gets out of office.
That's probably not going to work out.
Like one of her goals. But, yeah. It's beyond fucking, it's just absolutely beyond fucking infuriating.
Yeah.
So,
yes, it is.
What happened in Ireland? Here's the timeline. Everybody thinks this was a rebellion or it had to do with the immigrants. It started out as a fuel tax. Basically, the price of fuel in Ireland doubled, which obviously is problematic. If gas were to go from the $3.80 it is for us right now to $9 a gallon, people would be very upset and have a very hard time surviving at all. And oh, there's no mouse. And there's Jimmy.
He made it.
Problem. His beer is surviving.
He made it.
And I need him after today.
Oh, right.
Keep going. Hey, keep going.
Hang on. Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good. We're right in the window, man.
All right.
Ireland has already been taken over. Ireland's government was taken over almost a decade ago. They're now being invaded. And then this fuel tax comes into play. How this went down is basically as follows. Late March, planning and small-scale actions built online via forums and WhatsApp groups among truckers, farmers, and hauliers. Fuel prices surged amid Middle East tensions. Minor convoys and local protests began. April 7th, day one, protests erupt nationwide. Slow-moving convoys of tractors, etc., blocking roads. April 9th, days 2 to 3, April 8th to 9th, days 2 to 3, escalation. Blockades intensified at depots in Galway, Limerick, and Cork. Those are key cities in Ireland. Access restricted to Ireland's only oil refinery at Whitegate in Cork, which is to the south. Parts of Dublin were gridlocked, also to the south. It's in the southeast. Taoiseach Michael Martin calls blockades illogical and a threat to emergency services and national security. Army is placed on standby. They're going to use their army against their own civilians over protests. Some petrol stations begin running dry. This actually happened in the United States back in 1976 during the oil shortage. I remember that. You remember the line?
It was 75 to 77, yeah.
75 to 77, yep. Yeah. April 10th and 11th, peak disruption. Protesters blocked ports, fuel terminals, and more roads. O'Connell Street has heavily occupied in Dublin. Government meets industry bodies. Not direct protesters. Justice Minister warns of forceful response. Garda use pepper spray at some sites. Emergency services are affected. Deliveries are fucked.
Yeah.
April 12th, the Guard cleared the major blockades, including O'Connell Street, using mounted units and riot police in some areas, and the Whitegate Refinery. Protesters largely dispersed April 13th to 14th, which is up until today. Most blockades were lifted, roads and fuel supplies began normalizing, though some shortages are cleared. Now, the fuel haulers are all scabs, and they're all fucking Indians.
Nice.
They just got rid of Irish drivers and replaced them with Indians for these, so that it wouldn't be interrupted. And this is one of the purposes, one of the several purposes of bringing these hordes of immigrants in. And it works in the United States the same way. You can bring somebody in from a county on the other side of the state into this county or into Oakland County or Wayne County, and they will do things that somebody from our county wouldn't do because they live in this county.
Uh-huh.
Now imagine that effect with somebody from a totally different country and a totally different culture. They're going to do all kinds of shit that a local would never do. And that's why you bring them in.
I'm just wondering when the IRA is going to wake up.
The IRA has been a Marxist organization since 1968.
Okay. But the IRA was, those guys didn't fuck around.
The thing is, the Irish have an Irish problem. There's a poet named G.K. Chesterton, who is well worth reading, who said that the great Gaels of Ireland are the men God made mad, for all their wars are merry and all their songs are sad.
Hmm.
The Irish love a good fight. So it's just a matter of time before the Irish start swinging. It really is.
Yeah.
Like swinging for real. And there's going to be lead. There's going to be bombs. They were doing this up until the 90s.
Yeah, I know. I remember watching the news. I saw that.
Yeah, blowing up. They will.
Dude, they were getting guns from America. They were getting all kinds of shit from us.
Yes.
Like a large portion of their explosives were dynamite that were taken from the coal mines in Virginia.
Yeah.
Because they used to store the dynamite in these little shacks made of fucking wood, and they had like barbed wire around them and a pit so nobody would get hurt.
Right.
But they were literally climbing down there, robbing the shit, and it was like disappearing. And then you have all the explosions going off in Ireland and England and shit.
The battle song, My Little Armalite.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or The Wind That Shakes the Barley. There's a good Irish song. All their wars are merry and all their songs are sad. Meanwhile, Michael O'Keefe, who is an Irishman who has been reporting on all this, I've been following him and a bunch of others, says, Mother of God, the Irish media minister says he will be asking the media commission to examine protest coverage because it was too lopsided in favor of the farmers and truckers. The government sent the military to break up protests, and now they want to clamp down on how the media covers these protests because it made the government look bad. Ireland has gone full totalitarian. Yes. I said, when this started, I said, they're going to clamp down.
And then that's going to be the catalyst for shit to go off.
And as soon as the protesters disperse, they will be knocking on doors at night and taking people in ones and twos, because it's much easier and much safer for the government to take people in ones and twos than it is to try to fight a pitched battle in the streets. And this is always the way the Bolsheviks operated. That's what the NKVD was famous for. Was coming
there, in. I said it. Bolsheviks. Bolsheviks. Now drink.
Jimmy, you would have had that fucker on loop tonight, man, because it was all about the B word.
Yep. Man, we're going crazy with that shit.
Yeah. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
At any rate, the NKDV, Stalin's secret police, that's what they were known for. And Solzhenitsyn, the Russian we watched at the beginning of the show, who was talking about how we've lost our courage, also talked specifically about how if they had been waiting in doorways for these NKDV to show up, it would have been over quickly because they would have run out of agents.
Yep.
The NKDV didn't have that many agents. And if they had just started picking them off whenever they showed up, this would have been over because nobody would have wanted to work for the NKDV after that.
Yep.
If you're guaranteed to get smoked on your, in the middle of what you're doing, people aren't going to do that. They just, they sim-